and good afternoon to everyone. Afternoon to everyone connected online. It's good to have you. And again, just a beautiful day here in late summer. I would like to take the sermonette time, and I guess we can call this a sermonette, but I want to take the sermonette time this afternoon to talk about something that is timely and actually mentioned in the greeting by our song leader. So soon the fall holy days are upon us. Too often, I think we get right there to the holy days, and then we turn to the scriptures, reminding us or proving to us that we are keeping God's appointed feast days and holy convocations. And so I would like to talk about, ahead of the fall holy days this year, what these terms mean, and that's all I want to dwell on. And I want this to be encouraging rather, as well as instructional. Now, what do the terms feasts and holy convocations mean? In Leviticus 23, of course, we have those phrases mentioned, and we know them so well, but I'm going to turn there anyway, because without review, we can forget these things. In Leviticus 23, the one chapter in the Bible where we have every holy day mentioned, it begins in the first verse, "The Lord spoke to Moses." So this is coming directly from the Lord God. And then verse 2, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord," so they are his, "the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations," and then we have this repeat, "these are my feasts." I'd like to do a review with you of the Hebrew words that are translated feasts, and then holy and convocations. The Hebrew word translated feasts I find interesting. It appears 223 times in the original manuscripts from which the authorized version is translated. It transliterates, and I don't know that this is extremely important, but many of you, I think, will remember, and some of you are learning these things, but it transliterates as moed or moed. And it means, in simplest terms, an appointed time, place, or meeting. It has, again, used 223 times in the original manuscripts. It has a somewhat broad meaning. But again, an appointed time, a place appointed, or it can mean the meeting itself. The Hebrew word translated holy, wow, that's really a broad one. That word appears 470 times in the original manuscripts from which the authorized and really the New King James Version 2 are translated from. The word transliterates from Hebrew to English, kodesh. Not so important that you would remember that, but it is important that we remember what it means, a sacred place or thing. It can mean sanctity, consecrated, very important, consecrated, or a dedicated thing, or even a hallowed thing. Now, only God can make something holy. So this is extremely important. Now, the last word, convocations. The English word convocation, singular, or convocations, plural, comes from a word that appears only 23 times in the original manuscripts. And in English, it would be pronounced mikraw. Or McGraw. That means an assembly, a calling. It can't even mean a reading. So we gather and read or listen to readings. So, we are called to God's appointed sacred assemblies, appointed times, and not just any meeting. Sacred assemblies. Now, why am I dwelling on this? Well, first of all, I know, even here within our rather small congregation, we have a few children, not many, a few newer, learning these things. Some of us, a good many of us, who have learned this and practiced it for a very long time. But I want to ask you, are you learning, if you're on one side of the scale, how special these are? Or on the other hand, for those of us old-timers, do they remain special? I dearly hope so. I'm going to tell you a personal story. This came up just this past Sabbath as I was actually dealing with some feast business and working a little more to get this, matters prepared for the satellite feast out there in the Black Hills. And then simultaneously, my email inbox shows this invitation to register for TRB. That may mean nothing to you, and that's fine. The acronym, all caps, TRB, stands for Transportation Research Board. And because of what I did so long, I immediately recognized that. I'm still on their mailing list, apparently. So TRB, Transportation Research Board, holds their annual meeting in Washington, D.C. Now, the term is really misleading. You might think, well, maybe it's a bunch of old guys like him who sit down in a room as a board and decide some things. Well, the last time I attended, there was somewhere between 14 and 15,000 of us at this annual meeting. It's an international assembly of transportation people ranging from local managers of highway departments, street departments, and so forth, the engineering community, planners, and so forth. And it's just a huge conclave that covers research, new innovations, new ideas, and so forth, as well as things in practice that worked or didn't work. Now, it's enough of a description. The first time I was invited to attend that, it was something of an awesome experience, and that's why I'm telling the story. Wow, I've been invited to Washington, D.C. to this high-level meeting, a farm boy like me. And I still remember that experience rather vividly. I ended up attending it for something like 25 years running, I believe. After a period of time, I was actually invited to speak in one of the sessions at this gathering. And I was still rather innocent. I didn't realize that was a prestigious thing. And another fellow asked me, "You've been invited to speak there?" And I said, "Well, yes." And he said, "Wow, you must have done something great." "I don't think so, but it gives you a little idea." Here's where I'm going with this. After 25 years, it simply became common. To the point I began to reason this way. Oh boy, that's coming around again. It's been on my calendar for a year, but all of a sudden here it is. Got to make airline reservations again, and I'll have to fly through O'Hare, and oh my. And it just became common to me and not necessarily something I looked forward to. What's the lesson from my story? You may have similar stories. Have God's special appointed convocations also become common to us? I want you to think about it. Sometimes we read these scriptures literally as the, you know, the holy day comes. I wanted to take again the sermonette time and cover it a month out this time, because 4 weeks from tomorrow evening, Sunday evening, is the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets, sundown. Of course, then it goes without saying, I think, when you understand the calendar, that we follow 6 weeks from tomorrow evening is the Feast of Tabernacles beginning, and sandwiched in between the Day of Atonement. I hope I never let this become common in my mind and my thinking as that transportation conference did. Now, there won't be anything close to 14,000 of us in the Black Hills. We won't have 1% of that. We won't have a tenth of 1%, perhaps. It's okay, because I am, and you are, part of the called out family of God to a convocation that is so important. Listen, it's been called by God, not called by a governing board of transportation people, as the other conference that I described was. I want to stay here in Leviticus 23. I'll skim a little bit. We ended reading in verse 2, the feasts of the Lord again, holy convocations. And actually, we are at one of those today, because verse 3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. And there it is, a holy convocation. So even today, we are here because God called us to this appointment. And it is listed among his feasts. Verse 4, these are, it just mentions it over and over. It's hard to miss the point. Verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. So the church must do this. And indeed we have. I don't want to cover them all, but if you would skip ahead to verse 24. This is what we're coming to in 4 weeks from tomorrow evening. In verse 24, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, now this is on the Hebrew calendar that we follow, so in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and there's that word, a holy convocation. It's a holy day. We don't do any work on it, as it follows in verse 25. Skip down to verse 27. Here's the next one approaching us. Also, the tenth day of this seventh month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. And then the command to fast, which is what the King James phrase, afflict your souls, means, and offer an offering. We still do that. It is not made by fire, though, because of the change between the old covenant and the new covenant. Don't do any work again on that day, verse 28, as it says. And actually, it's so important that we keep these, refrain from our regular work. It does say, verse 30, any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among my people. End of verse 31, it's a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. God's appointed times. Now I want to go forward to verse 34. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, now here's the next festival, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, and this one for 7 days to the Lord. on the first day, verse 35, there shall be a holy convocation, and you don't do any customary work on it. And then it continues, 7 days, verse 36, you shall offer an offering. Now, we don't take up offerings daily anymore because the supreme offering on our behalf has been made by Jesus Christ. That's a different topic, and I want to keep this short. But it does continue there, middle of verse 36, also, on the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation. We make an offering. End of the verse. It is a sacred assembly. That's how the New King James translates it. A sacred assembly. And don't, again, do any customary work on it. I find this inspiring. I'm giving this partly to remind myself. I'm heavily involved in planning the feast at this one little site, but yet I found myself thinking, am I just going through the motions once more? Or am I preparing myself to be in one of God's sacred, special convocations, one of his special appointed times, to worship him as he desires? And it's for our benefit. We have time to think about it now. It's why I chose to do this a month out. Prepare yourself, my friends. I want to do the same. I want to focus a little more this year so that when the time comes, I can be there with a good attitude, with an attitude of joy, recognizing I'm not just here because the calendar rolled around one more time in a year cycle, and oh yeah, it's feast again, got to get the car ready and so forth, got to be there in such and such a day. No, those are high days, beautiful days, another term that's in the Bible, a high day. So let's prepare a little more this year so that when the time comes, we're really focused and that we will really gain much more from it. We all need to, regardless of how many times we've kept these days, those of us old timers. I also know it's not possible for everyone to be at the feast. Indeed, you should be if you're able. If you cannot, we have webcasts and so forth today with all of our modern technology. If that's the only way you can keep it, you still really need to prepare and realize you're going to sit down on one of God's special appointed times and as much as you can to be a part of a sacred assembly.